Commissioner.
Okay, good morning, ma'am. I'm going to go over a bunch of information on this, and if you wish to add anything, we'll do that before we make the motions, okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so this is a poll hearing for Daniel E. McFerrin, ADC number 37371. Mr. McFerrin has waived his right to appear today, so this will be done at the state chair. Mr. McFerrin is 31 years old, and he served a life sentence that began on December 29, 1975 for murder. He also served a 4.5-year sentence for failure to register as a sex offender that ran concurrent to the life sentence that began on July 31, 2014. Mr. McFerrin became parole eligible on December 28, 2000, and has appeared before the board 26 times total. He was certified for this hearing for regular parole, acid discharge, or home arrest on August 1st, 2018. Mr. McFerrin was granted regular parole on July 11, 2001, but was revoked on October 25th, 2004. But there was no information in the packet as to the warrant or exactly why he was revoked. July 23rd, 2013, Mr. McFerrin was again paroled. Then on May 14, 2014, he was revoked. And the warrant was for that revocation was for misuse and absconding. He also failed to register as a sex offender during his parole, and was charged and found guilty of the failure to register as a sex offender, and I believe that was 4-year sentence, which is expired. Mr. McFerrin has been before the board twice since the last revocation. On May 1st, 2015, he was determined to be ineligible, and then on February 28, 2018, he was denied any type of release. The offense involved I lost my place in all this. The offense in December 7, 1975, Mr. McFerrin murdered his wife by strangulation. And at the time, the reason given was that that she had a separate bank account which she did not discuss with him, and it contained $1,000 in some poker chips. Apparently, there were 4 people in the household at the time. They were playing cards, and the victim went to the kitchen. The defendant followed. They apparently had an argument, and then he was choked her and knocked her down and choked her, but she was still breathing, so he put a belt around her throat. And it was the co-defendant, the other gentleman that was in the apartment at the time, helped him hold the belt tied around the victim's throat till she died. Then they took the body and put it in the bathtub and tried to cut up the fingertips enough that the fingerprints wouldn't be identifiable. They wrapped in a tarp and took it to the desert and left the body out there. Also, as a criminal history, Mr. McFerrin committed grand larceny in Portland, or Port Orchard, Washington. That was 1966. In 1967, he committed the crime of grand larceny in Eugene, Oregon. Forgery in Dallas, Texas in 1969, and then he committed the crimes, and this one was This is brought into force on July 4, 1970, in San Diego, California. The defendant is co-defendant, victims, two 15-year-old girls and another male in the defendant's car at gunpoint after driving down dirt roads. The three victims were ordered out of the car. The defendant locked the other male in a luggage trunk. Two girls were sexually assaulted at gunpoint. The co-defendant had told one of the girls that the defendant, Mr. McFerrin, wanted to kill them, and that, but his co-defendant talked him out of it. They were returned to the spot where they were kidnapped, and as the defendant's co-defendant drove away, a police vehicle happened to approach, and they got, Mr. McFerrin got caught. And he was released on probation on April 2nd, 1975. He was on probation for those offenses when he committed the instant offense. That information was taken from a letter of opposition from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office that was dated August 20th, 2018. He has very little discipline in them since 2008. He does seem to have some good support as far as letters go, but a very poor release plan. We do have a victim that is going, that is present in, and at least listening to the hearing. So, okay, so at this time, ma'am, I would like to let you, if you wish, you don't have to say anything. You're welcome to just stay on the phone and listen to the rest of the proceeding. But if you wish to address the board, you're welcome to do so at this time.
Yes, I would like to. Okay. To all present at this hearing today, thank you. Okay. To refresh you on the most recent hearing statement.
Ma'am, state your full name, please.
My name is Debbie Wells.
Okay, thank you. Continue, please.
To all present at this hearing today, thank you. To refresh you on most recent past hearing statements made, which is the facts you will need to take into account for today's hearing outcome, I will reread our statement dated 2/28/2018, along with our statement dated 3/20/2014. We today should not be here to satisfy Daniel's needs. This statement was dated 3/20/2014, by the way, but to protect the children as well as the community, any of which may become Daniel's next victim. Since today's hearing is in regard to notifications that were adjusted, please be aware that children, innocent children, are at high risk to be harmed. Daniel thinks he is not a predator, and yes, he is, a predator of rape and a predator of murder, both of which his victims were sought out, and both of which he used weapons, the rape, a gun, the murder, hands, belt, and knife. We feel that's predatory. The poor, unsuspecting victims, and the absolute fright they must have felt. My sister Susan and I, and our entire family feel for our safety. We should not have to live this way. Our opinion has not changed. Daniel has repeatedly shown he is not trustworthy, has no regard for authority, has violated the board's gracious release from custody two times, committed our sister's murder by on parole, has no remorse, no empathy, no emotion for his crime, not to mention the betrayal of trust he showed his supporters who bent over backwards for him by expanding. The state of Arizona has done more than enough to help Daniel return to society as a productive citizen. We are sure you have many other citizens that have spent a good portion of their lives in Arizona that would be in need of some much-needed assistance. Mr. McFerrin has given many, many chances, has been given many, many chances. We say it's time to stop falling prey to his calm day. We, Janet's family, hope that the justice system will now do the right thing and keep Daniel incarcerated for the remainder of his life. Also stated 3/20/14, Daniel's doctor's psychology report that counseled him for 7 months straight, deemed him to be a sociopath, an extreme danger and threat to society, a very disturbed individual. Janet, we are sorry for your terrifying and violent loss of life. We miss you, we love you, may you rest in peace. To silence you did nothing. Now, the statement dated 2/28/2018, dear Clemency, board members, thank you for taking the time to review our case today. Community safety is very important to us, as we now understand often high at risk individuals take medicine down, and sometimes these high risk individuals are where they need to be. Eating is at the expense of the state, and that is in prison. They should not be granted a release, given the false hope to live lives outside the prison system, which in this case apparently is not what the inmate is capable of. My name is Debbie. I have been participating in the board hearings for quite some time regarding inmate Daniel F. Wayne McFarlane. Janet, who is my sister, as well as Daniel's wife of 2 months while this crime was committed, is the victim. Janet was kind-hearted, very friendly, quite smart, loved everyone, loved life, loved her parents, family, the beach horses, and dog. She was a daughter, granddaughter, sibling, aunt, cousin, and friend to many. She was strangled to death, mutilated with a knife, wrapped in a water bed top, and dumped. She was 23 years old, a beautiful person inside and out. She fought frantically to live. Daniel and one of his 2 accomplices, Jeff McCallis, manually strangled her. Then Daniel removed his belt, looped it around Janet's neck, and both Daniel and Jeff each took an end and pulled until Janet no longer moved. She was looking at Daniel. They put a towel over her face, took her from the kitchen to the bathroom, and cut her fingertips to conceal her identification, wrapped her in water bed top, placed her in the trunk of the car, drove quite a distance away, removed her body from the trunk, and dumped her in the woods atop Daniel's tee. Her body remained there until discovered by unsuspecting couples who stopped their car for a break after picnicking with Stuffy Baby. The one man discovered the top containing Janet's body. I was given the details of her body's condition as she was dead for weeks. This murder was premeditated and committed while Daniel was on parole. I am here today and speaking on behalf of our entire family, Susan and her sister, who has participated as well as made statement in the past, will not be attending hearings anymore, not out of not caring, not out of changing her mind with keeping Daniel in prison forever, but because Susan is incredibly fearful and terrified for her life and safety concerning Daniel's past as well as present actions. Janet was Susan's best friend. We, as a family, strongly suggest her present today to better familiarize herself with this inmate, his past as well, his present history, violations, hearing statements made, as well as reading through the victim's file. We also realize there is no 100% guarantee of midnight's actions after the release, but Daniel's actions and violations repeatedly show who is exactly who he has always been, having no regard for anyone, anything, any laws, nothing. Give him enough releases, and he will hand out more home with more victims. We also understand the mission, vision, and value of the board. We hope this inmate, who shows zero remorse, zero empathy, zero emotion for his crimes and for his victims, and cried like a baby for himself and went to the last parole board release, which was granted solely because supporters were present, will correctly in future hearings be treated as the actions he displays. We did not attend this particular hearing as mentioned in the past. We were not informed a hearing would take place until after his release was granted and he was free. This was his second release. The first was violated with cocaine use after 3 years, 2001 release, 2004 violated. This particular most recent release was also violated as Luke Scondard failed to register as a sex offender, was found in a motel, high-risk area to prostitutes, drug, and criminal activity, obviously not his registered residence. He was found with cocaine, heroin needles, and a pipe. Daniel was sneaky, manipulative, intelligent. He conned the church people who greatly supported him He calmed the board, he calmed with his hand, and every aspect of school stand for. Possibly his outburst over his cry was deep down a last deceiving son in his game. Ironically, often, our hearings spoke beginning to religion, and in the end, Daniel wrote a note to the pastor, went to court to violate. God was no longer included in his life's picture. Daniel has an extensive past criminal history. He was also a rapist. He, along with a friend, sought after any available, unsuspecting prey, which happened to include taking two young teenage girls, kidnapping them at gunpoint, and raping them. The boy who was with these girls was tied and put into the trunk of the car. Daniel served his time in a hospital where he was diagnosed antisocial and sexual deviant severe. When released, he met and married Janet. They lived in California. Susan lived nearby. Then one day, Daniel did not come home for a few days. Daniel stated to Janet, he shot and killed a man at the man's home. Then people showed up. Janet was shaking uncontrollably, her body shaking, lips shaking. Susan witnessed and commented to Daniel. Daniel left California, taking Janet with him to Arizona. Susan stayed in California. Daniel met and secured two accomplices in Arizona to help him with getting rid of his wife, Jason Bonham, McCarris. Numerous plans came into play, throwing her out of the car into traffic, drugging her, but they chose strangling her, which was thought to be the best option as in not getting caught. Janet's murder was premeditated. She had no clue, done to silent part for his confession of a man's murder. My dad told us Janet died for nothing too much because Janet told my parents of this crime. To this day, I do not believe Daniel has been questioned. There is a small window of time when this crime took place. When Susan attempted contacting Janet in Arizona by letters, no response came. Janet was already dead. Daniel took a plane from Arizona to California to visit Susan after the murder, and much time had passed with the intent to get rid of her also. But the brother who was in the army visiting spoiled Daniel's plan. Daniel did attempt rape to Susan at this time. Janet's body was discovered. Daniel was arrested at Susan. This inmate is high risk regarding public safety and potential and predictable behavior. Certainly not worth risking harming anyone else. Thank you for attending our hearing, listening to a somewhat lengthy statement. But we as a family felt it necessary to improve and better acquaint the Daniel's past present history and to allow you to clearly see who Daniel is. Janet missed out on a wonderful life. This murder has devastated our entire family. We wish their parents never met. If at any time a parole grant to release Daniel into the community comes into play, the governor will be contacted by us, Janet Daniel, and thoroughly advised of the particulars of our case in hopes to reverse the board parole grant for the public safety, for our safety. We feel it's time for Daniel to come clean about the other murder before Janet, he confessed to her about the reason he silenced her to her premeditated death and held him accountable. Thank you very much, the Wells family. You're welcome.
Participate in these hearings, and as one voting board member, I do take into consideration the victim side of the story, and I know my fellow board members do also.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll continue now, and feel welcome to stand in line, and we'll get this finished in a few minutes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else in board room that would wish to speak on behalf of Mr. McFerrin? Is there anyone else in the boardroom that would like to speak on the victim side in this case? No? Okay. Well, based on all this, I know I make it really simple. I mean, everything I've seen in the packet, prior history, potential for other undiscovered crimes, and the entire picture, but mostly at this point in time, the crimes and the fact that Mr. McFerrin apparently doesn't understand how to follow the rules on the lease, I'm not in favor of any type of parole or active discharge or home arrest this time. I mean, this is a discussion for many of my fellow board members.
Okay.
Okay, so based on everything we have here, I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Daniel E. McFerrin, ADC number 37771, deny regular parole, active discharge, and home arrest at this time. Due to waiting crime, there is no setup available. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by myself, and asked to agree by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. The reasons would be serious violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, found to victim, serious violent injury, multiple victims, or not multiple victims in this the past, but victim harassment because of the length of time it took to kill the victim, violated previous probation, history of assaulting behavior, prior criminal histories of repeat offender, history of assaulting behavior, lack of programming, and poor or no release plan. Unless there's something that one of my fellow board members would like to add, then this will end our hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.